Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. I want to welcome you out today for a wonderful show, a show that's for you, those of you that work hard for money and you want your money working hard for you. You want to work because you want to, not because you have to. You want to live your passions. You want to be with those that you love, doing what you love when you want to do it. And that's what this show is about. It's about getting rid of the mainstream financial advice that's out there that has never worked and doing something different. Be able to create cash flow, freedom, prosperity right now. Hey, as a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. If you got questions for me, reminder, just remember, shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com. And by the way, thank you so much for sharing the show. I love how it's growing, and I love how you're a part of it. And thank you for your feedback and for the things that you're learning, because I know many of you are basically like in training right now. I mean, whether you're making millions a year or you're making even just thousands a year, I mean, I love the fact that you guys are coming from all over and you're creating opportunity. You're investing in yourselves right now. And I do not take that lightly, and I want to make sure I honor your time as much as I can. And that's why these episodes are pretty dang short for the most part, aren't they? So I want to go back. I want to talk about my story, about why I quit being a financial advisor. Because you hear me talking about being an anti-financial advisor, right? And many people say, well, what does that mean? And I know I already did a show on that a few months back about creating an anti-financial plan, right? I talked about that before. But I want to go back to kind of give you those steps that took me to eventually reject everything that's being taught in the mainstream. And when I say everything, I mean, I don't mean every little thing they teach is horrible. But I mean that if you want to be stuck, if you want to end up like everybody else, you got to actually treat money like everybody else. And I'm here to tell you that not everybody out there blows money. There are a lot of financial pundits out there that teach from a scarcity saver mentality, telling you that, hey, the reason why people are broke is because they're not doing enough. They're not saving enough. They're spending too much money. They're keeping up with the Joneses and all this stuff. Now, there are those people out there. But in my experience, there's a lot of people that aren't those people. In fact, I would say it's kind of split almost. Actually, it's probably, I don't know. I would say it's probably split about 50-50, but it might even be less than that. There might actually be less than 50% of people out there that are spenders, right, from that scarcity perspective. And so when I started, I remember I was going to go to college to become a business consultant. I figured if I'm going to do that, I should actually have a real business. And so as a result, I was looking around like, what kind of business should I start? What will give me real life experience rather than just books? Because I don't want to go to graduate school and get an MBA and then basically just have book smarts and no real life experience. And so I started looking around, and I remember like before I went on Christmas break to go visit my family, I was talking with one of my friends who had recently been hired with a financial advising firm. And he was talking about some of the things he was doing, and there's something about it that intrigued me. Now, granted, I did not come from a financial background. I did take some like accounting classes or whatever, but I was mostly a sociology major with a possible triple minor in psychology, ballroom dancing, and Japanese, right? So I was kind of a Renaissance man of sorts. But I was very gifted in math, so I took some banking and accounting classes and whatnot, but I was not a financial genius by any way, shape, or form. I just barely used my overdraft account from my checking account for the first time and freaked out because I'd never used a credit card before, right? And so, I didn't have any knowledge. I didn't know what mutual funds were or anything else. I knew about stocks, and I did some, paper trading with some stocks, but I didn't actually do anything real. I was in college. I was broke. So I didn't have any real training. But when he talked about it, I remember going back to Oregon to visit my family and thinking, man, there's something about that that sounds cool. And so when I came back, I kind of hunted him down. I was like, get me an interview. What do I got to do to see if I can get hired with this firm? Because, you know, he mentioned that it was kind of more of a, you know, independent contractor basis. So more like a having your own business, right? Well, it finally took about a month, but I finally got in with them. And little did I know at that time, they hire anybody who's willing to work, you know? And so I thought I was the luckiest guy in the world that they took a guy with no experience. And they said, hey, we'll train you. We'll teach you all the ropes. And they did. They taught me all about, you know, saving and investing, which really is not investing. It's really just saving in mutual funds, right? They taught me about different products, whether they be mutual fund type products like IRAs, Roth IRAs, and, you know, different types of life insurances that you could do different levels of investing, you know, or saving with, right? And things like that. Anyways, like, I started to realize it was kind of fun. And so I stayed dropped out of college. I actually didn't finish getting my degree. I stayed dropped out because I realized I saw the potential of being an entrepreneur. And I started really getting into this stuff. I really started to teach it and try to understand it more and more. Yeah, and it was rough. I mean, there was times that there was people that I met with that would bring up questions that I didn't know the answer to. And I looked like an idiot, you know, like they really did. And there was times, especially when there were business owners, would say, yeah, but you know, why should I invest with you? In fact, I remember my brother-in-law, he brought up that good question. When I went through my whole presentation, I remember I put on my best suit, brought the best guy from the office that I knew could back me up. I was going to get my brother-in-law to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, because he came from a rich family. He was second generation of wealth. And after I got done presenting, he said, well, that's nice. So Chris, let me understand this. If I were to take $10,000 for you to play with today, you're saying you might make me a 12% return. Is that right? I was like, yeah, I can't guarantee anything because, you know, past performance is not indicative of future results, but yeah, 12, that's 12%. So that's like 12. So he's like, okay, that's $1,200. All right, $1,200 in a year. Okay, to Chris, he's like, I could take $10,000. I could put a down payment on a semi-truck because he owned a truck, like a semi-truck sales business, right? Like a dealership. He says, I could take that $10,000. I could put a down payment on a truck, turn around a few months later and make $20,000. So Chris, why would I invest my money with you? And of course, I said the only thing that I've been taught to say. Well, you should be diversified. You should put all your eggs in one basket. Besides, business is risky. Ironic that I was actually, you know, in business for myself, saying business is risky, right? And I told him, like, no, you should be having money in these things too. Business is great, but you need money here because how are you going to retire? Not thinking in my head that, duh, of course, if you can generate cash flow, you're already retiring, right? And see, he came from a family where they understood that. They realized, no, like, if you can generate streams of income, you know, and then have investments that you also get on the side that helps amplify and even replace some of the income, then yeah, you could be in a great financial position, right? Well, I wasn't thinking that way. I was thinking, hey, you got to save and save and save, you know, and I, even my own personal life, I had a goal to retire by the time I was 40 by saving $2 million and then living on that 3%, 2 or 3%. So basically, if I want to live on 3%, that's $60,000 a year, right? And I thought that would be a great income at that time. Remember, I got in at 2002, the mid-2000s. $60,000 a year was different than what it seems today, doesn't it? That's how you know that you've been that frog in boiling water with inflation. It's because you don't even know how bad inflation's been until you think about, I remember when $60,000 a year sounded like a decent amount of money. Now it stinks. You can't even survive on that. That's almost poverty level now. And depending on where you live, it is poverty level. So anyways, I remember that kind of put a dink in my armor because I thought, oh, you know, what would I say to him? And I remember asking around the office, like, what would I say? You know, like, what would you say to this guy? And I even found the guy that worked with multimillionaires. And he said, I don't know. That's a good response on his part. You know, I don't know if I would have a good answer for him. I'm like, well, dang it. Like, how am I supposed to get him to invest? And then I realized, I'm like, wait a minute. Am I just a salesman? Like, am I just trying to get this guy to kind of fit the square peg in a round hole? And I realized that he had a good point. And then it made greater points too when I remember my one of the guys I had trained, and this is probably just about a year later, right? This is kind of the beginning of the end for me. It's the end of 2005. I called up one of the guys that I had trained to be a financial advisor. He had left to go do real estate investing with his father. They partnered up to do some real estate investments. And I thought, yeah, good luck. That's risky. Or that won't make much money because real estate only goes up like 3% a year. That's not even keeping up with inflation, you know. And he brought up and so we started this debate about what's better, stocks or real estate. Because when he started talking to me, he said, yeah, my dad's already doubled his income from his being a professor at the local university. And I thought, how could he double his income in 4 months since you left? That's impossible. That's too good to be true, right? And he's like, nope, we're actually doing it. And so it led to this debate. I'm like, what's better, stocks or real estate? And by the way, I was starting to teach people how to trade stocks and options. And in fact, I dropped my securities license by this point because they made me choose. My broker said, hey, if you're teaching people how to trade, even if you're not giving them advice, you can't be licensed. And I said, well, I can actually see how people can make more money trading on their own than buying mutual funds. So great, I'll drop it. One of the best decisions I ever made was dropping that securities license to, you know, to deal with mutual funds and such. And you know what? And I'll tell you, like, my eyes started to open up, realizing that maybe there's some other possibilities. Maybe there's people that, as I started to see people that made money, they're not doing it the same way I'm teaching. I'm really teaching broke people how to be broke. And the truth was that most of the people that I worked with, including myself, were really broke too. Because the question that my friend asked after he said that they doubled their income, he said, Chris, what principles are you teaching your clients? I'm like, well, what do you mean by principles? Like, you mean the Rule 72, compound interest? No, Chris, not even close. Okay, Chris, you don't know what principles are. Two, how many of your clients are truly financially free where they're not worrying about money? And I thought about even the retired physicians and whatnot. And I thought, none. They all worry about money. Even though they shouldn't be, they still seem like they worry about money. He's like, well, good job, Chris. All right, third question, Chris, and this is the key. How many of you as financial advisors are financially free? Not from the commissions you're earning, not from the commissions and the trails and renewals and all the stuff you're earning on this stuff, which hasn't helped people become financially free anyways. How many of you are financially free off the investments you've been recommending to your own clients? Because if anybody has to figure it out, it should be you guys, right? And I thought about it and I realized, I was like, maybe one guy is financially free that I know of. Found out later he wasn't either. And so he said, well, there's your problem. I said, well, why don't you give me the answer if you're so smart? He says, I'm not going to, because I don't think you really will do anything about it anyways, which just ticked me off and made me want it more, right? And so I pushed and I pushed. And finally he said, all right, if you're serious, here's a radio show that these millionaires are doing, talking about these kind of principles and whatnot. And then get this book, Who Took My Money by Robert Kiyosaki, which basically rips on mutual funds. And so I did. I got the audiobook, listened to it within the day, because it's only 3 hours long. And it's like, okay, I admit there's holes in mutual funds. That's why I stopped selling them. Yeah, I also realized too, unbeknownst to him, I'd already started questioning, because when I would run the numbers, because I had more and more agents asking me questions and training them on stuff, even things like Index Universal Life. Like, that was one of the things that was, I was one of the forefront users, you know, or people actually selling that and teaching that. And so a lot of times people would ask me questions, and of course they bring up good questions. You know, they'd say, well, what about this? You know, they'd say things like, hey, well, what about inflation? What are you putting in for inflation numbers? And I'm like, yeah, well, if you put in 3%, which, by the way, inflation is higher than 3%. I put in 3%, and it was kind of a dismal picture for people. So I lowered my numbers to 2%, and I realized I was just tweaking numbers. And, well, what if the rate of return is this? Well, what if it's not 12%? Because what if it's more like 8 or 10%? You know, a little, and I just started to learn about the whole real actual returns, like we talked about on the show many times, you know, that the stock market only averaged about 7.5% per year for the last 30 years now, right? And so I was teaching people, like, oh yeah, it's averaging like 12%. Well, what if it doesn't earn 12? What if it only earns 8? And I was like, ooh, that looks horrible. Now people aren't retiring at all. And even worse, if you put it at 7.5%, right? Or 6, like, which is probably closer to what you might get if you do 401ks. Even with a match, by the way, you might pull out an 8% return with a match on a 401k over time. And I have other shows on that. I'm not going to go into details of that. That's not the purpose of this show right now. But the point is that I started to have doubts about what I was teaching. And especially when I looked at clients that I inherited, clients that had been that had advisors since like the 1980s, for example. By the way, financial advisors only started really showing up more popular on the scene about the 1970s, when they started to offer more investment choices for the average Joe. And they started selling all this crap to you because you were the average Joe. You were basically making nothing. You weren't the people they were going for, but they started to see that there was some benefit in marketing to the masses, especially with the invention of the 401k in 1984. Well, when it became available for normal people in 1984. I know it's been around since the 70s, but yeah, it only became available in the mid-80s for most average Americans, and then that became the thing. And so pretty soon in the 80s, things exploded. So yeah, more and more people had advisors, but I saw these people, and their situation wasn't any better. It was actually, in some cases, it seemed like it was kind of worse, especially after Y2K. And I realized, like, man, like, these people, they might have a few hundred thousand dollars in their savings, but you can't live on that. You need millions to produce enough income to even have a halfway decent living. Remember, if you live on 3%, you know, even if you want $60,000 a year, you need $2 million, right? If you want $100,000 a year, well, you're going to have a heck of a lot more. You're going to need $3.33 million saved up in these crappy plans, which is really hard to do, by the way. So anyways, I started to see this, and it started to be an issue. Well, when he started to bring this up, I started listening to that radio show. Those guys put on seminars. I went to their seminar in March of 06, so it was a few months down the road. My friend started to open up and tell me some of the things he was doing with real estate, which blew my mind. I'll tell you, like, I got so excited and reinvigorated when I realized, like, wait, what if somebody could actually earn 12%? What if they could earn 24 or 30%? And my mind started going crazy because I remember I had to tell my dad, who had paid off all his debt. He paid off his house free and clear. He saved up in his 401k. And then he's like, Chris, all right, I'm trying to get to retirement. What do I need to do? And I said, well, you don't have enough saved up in your 401k, even though you've been a good, strict saver. The only thing you've got is the equity in your house. He's like, well, where do I put that? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to put it in the stock market because that's risky. And even in these indexed funds, even if they don't lose money, still, if you don't earn a certain return, you won't outpace the interest on your mortgage. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. And that got me to think there's got to be other answers. And I was open, finally, to searching. It's funny, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And that's what happened. And of course, I started to learn from those guys. Those guys were actually millionaires. Some of them from their business. A lot of them were doing, like, life insurance. Some of them were life insurance salesmen and whatnot. But other were real estate investors. And they started making fun of financial advisors. I remember I went to their workshop in March, right? In March of 06. And I went to the workshop, and they're saying like, hey, they started ripping on, you know, save everything. You know, like, well, how much do you have to save? Because they used to say it's 10%. Now they're saying it's got to be 20%. What if that's not enough? They're going to tell you to save 50? They'd say, we got to save for the long haul. They'll keep teaching you that stuff. Well, how long is the long haul if the market goes down? Now you have to extend another 10 years or more. You know, things like that. And, you know, high risk creates high return. Like, well, how does a high risk create a higher return? Because if you have a 90% chance of losing, does that mean you have a 90% chance of winning? No. And so they start bringing all this stuff up and talking about how banks think about money. Just the simple stuff, like the simple stuff I teach you on this show. And all of a sudden, it blew my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, who would teach this crap? Then I realized it was me. And then they rip on financial advisors and say, hey, we hope there's no financial advisor room. Any financial advisor room, raise your hand. And I was about to raise my hand, then realizing that my hand would be the solitary hand in a room of about 100 people going up. So out of shame and embarrassment, I kept my hand down, even though my friend, who was, you know, looked straight at me, I couldn't do it. And I'll tell you, like, just from a couple hours of them talking about this stuff was enough for me to say, all right, enough's enough. I've tried to see how I can make this work. In fact, I was at the height of my practice because I stopped teaching those things. And when I started to think differently, I attracted more clients. And so I actually quit at the height of my practice, turned in my resignation that weekend because I realized there's no way I can stay in integrity and teach something that has never, ever worked. Something that basically has been overpromised and underdelivered drastically. And that's been the financial advising world. And I have vowed at that moment, I was like, I will never teach money again. I will just do mortgages, and I'll find ways to maybe on the side teach some ballroom dancing and still do some stock coaching. And that's what I did. I was stock coaching, I was doing mortgages, and I was teaching some ballroom dance on the side. And in fact, I was even planning. I was like, you know, maybe I'll even finish my degree finally. I went back to the college to see what it would take because it was 5 years later. They said, sorry, you're going to have to take a year and a half's worth of credit. I said, never mind. See ya. So I left. I didn't actually go back to finish my degree. And it's interesting because, like, as time went on, I started to change. I started to learn things differently. I started to create cash flow for myself where money started coming in ways that I've never seen before, all because I focused on principles, not just strategies. In fact, those guys were really good at not teaching any strategies. They wouldn't teach you about what to do with real estate. I teach you way more than those guys ever did. They were just teaching, hey, create value. God's the author of prosperity. You know, things like that. Like some of the basic stuff I taught you in the very beginning, the very first of these episodes. They taught some of that stuff. But they didn't really teach strategy. Once I started to learn strategy on my own, you know, I learned a little bit from them, but for the most part, I was just learning my own strategies. And that's what got me to retire by July of that same year. But of course, people still want to know the answers. And that's why they kept reaching out to me and reaching out. And I wanted to know what my next thing was. One of those guys actually that had taught at that seminar died in a plane wreck just 3 months later. And it changed my life. It got me to wonder, what is going to be my legacy? What am I going to be about? And I felt this call to almost carry on some of their work. And so that's what got me out. In 2007, I partnered up with a guy that was one of his old partners and started teaching again, did that for 6 years. And then after that, launched Money Ripples. Now it's been 6.5 years since I've launched that. And I'll tell you, like, I never want to look back. You know, financial advising, the way it's been taught, I know financial advisors mean well. Most of them are out there because they believe they're doing a good service. Unfortunately, most of them, because their pocketbooks are tied to that, to the products they sell, they have a hard time resolving that. They don't want to tell you that it's not a good idea. They just tell you, well, hey, this is better than doing nothing. Maybe, but maybe not. What if you could be doing something different? I'll tell you, there is no financial product. No financial product. There's not even life insurance, like I've taught. Not that by itself cannot get you to be financially free. No mutual fund will ever be make you financially free. Or annuity. None of that stuff they offer will make you financially free, ever. The only way to do it is looking outside of it. It's doing things that people call alternative investments. But in truth, really, they are the best proven investments with less risk, in my opinion. When you do it right, it's less risky. If you're a monkey with a machine gun doing it ignorantly, it's horrible. And it can be riskier than even a mutual fund. But if you do it right, it can actually create some great, great ways to create wealth. So guys, my point is this, is that I've been there. I've done that. I've been the guy teaching the Dave Ramsey type principles. I've been the guy teaching things like Susie Orman. I've been the guy teaching you the very thing every financial advisor and every financial pundit has taught. And I can promise you, it does not work. It's never worked and it never will work. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And their results have been proven to not work. Guys, for anybody within the sound of my voice, like, I hope that this is why you're here, why you're looking to find something different for an actual new hope here, right? You know, something that's unique, something that actually does work. And I hope that you share that with everybody else, because I'm here to tell you that I've been on the inside. I've ran the numbers. It doesn't work. What truly works is investing in yourself and investing in things that actually produce cash flow. Cash flow is the key to creating freedom. Not accumulating money in some sort of fund that some bank or financial institution has been selling you for years. It's actually investing in real assets to produce real cash flow. That is the secret. That is what makes it work. If you guys have questions, of course, like I said, email me, chris@moneyripples.com. But again, I hope that if anything you get from this is that, hey, I know a guy that's been on the inside and he knows it hasn't worked. Any of you guys that think saving 401ks, IRAs works, it doesn't. It never has, and it never will. So guys, I'm here to give you hope that there's other answers out there. So I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.